It is no secret that we live in a patriarchal world that is fueled in the love of secrets and the culture of sameness. Truly, we are too comfortable saying that the past was a long time ago. Still, what if there was a woman? But not just any kind of woman. I'm talking about a woman who dared to become one of the most powerful leaders in this world. The problem is, people don't even remember her name, and even less people remember her story. So, in today's episode, entitled, What If It Was Her?, we'll discover former Congresswoman and Ambassador Shirley Chisholm, who chose not only to educate, but to bring to the forefront the gender and racial biases that prevented stories like hers from being told.
So as a person who experiences a similar cultural background to former Representative and Ambassador Chisholm, I oftentimes wondered as a child what it was like for people, or should I say women of Caribbean descent, being represented in America on the greater political field. And for a lot of the time, there wasn't much public representation, or like, when I say public representation, I mean like not a lot of people knew that these kinds of women existed in politics. And so it wasn't until I got to like high school and I was trying to figure things out that I even stumbled upon former Ambassador and Representative Chisholm. And what's really daunting to me, or not really daunting, but what's really funny to me is that she was like, if they don't give you a seat at the table, and this is in quotes, bring a folding chair. Now, that's just a very real thing to say, because I don't think in American history or in a lot of like known Black history, we often recognize Shirley Chisholm as an active part of our history, as an active person in our history. So I think, even though she said this a while back, I think it is still true now. I think former Ambassador and Representative Chisholm has to continue to bring her seat into history, even though she isn't alive anymore. And I think one of the best things is that I get to study persons like her. And what really intrigued me to even get into this in the first place was the fact that I spent the semester in school studying about somebody who's also hidden, or people don't remember as much in Black history and African American studies, which is June Jordan. And this kind of intrigued me after studying about June Jordan, how many other great and inspiring Black women continue to be overlooked. So join me as we kind of, as I said, do this overview of who Shirley Chisholm is, but also kind of bring to the forefront that this is still an issue that we're struggling with today.
Do you know that only 24 women have ever run for president? Okay, but let's think a little bit smaller. Do you know that Vice President Kamala Harris was the first Black woman to ever have been elected to be Vice President of the United States? And then let's think a little bit smaller than that. Do you know that former Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun was elected as the first Black woman to ever serve in the Senate? And then to think about the person that we're discussing today, former Congresswoman and Ambassador Shirley Chisholm was the first Black woman ever to have been elected into the House of Representatives. All of these women were the first, but we know so little about them. Shirley Chisholm, however, was the first Black woman to accomplish many of these milestones. Born in Brooklyn in 1924, she was born into a Caribbean household and knew never to let her gender and her race prevent her from creating change. Okay, what does it mean to be born in 1924? Let's give a little context. This was the year that the Indian Citizens Act was passed, which basically meant that Indigenous persons who were born in the United States were now able to have U.S. citizenship. But this was also the year that Ellis Island closed as an immigration entry site. So there was a lot going on that had a lot to do with people that were born in the US but not treated as equals, and people entering the US looking for a better life. Okay, former Ambassador Chisholm was no stranger to success, and from a young age demonstrated this through graduating cum laude from Brooklyn College and then going on to complete her master's at Columbia University in early childhood education. Although Chisholm had been encouraged to consider a career path in politics, she responded by saying that she was a double handicap, which meant that because she was Black and woman, this already barred her chances from entering a field like this. Now, if any of you are familiar with Kimberlé Crenshaw's work in Black feminist theory and contributions into the critical race theory conversations, then one would understand that intersectionality is a metaphor for the avenues of one's identity that compound, creating obstacles preventing one from having access to power and the ability to use it. This notion of being double handicapped is something that we can assume is to be in a relationship with being Black and woman, even though this is an idea from years ago, we can see it being in direct relation to the things going on today. This idea of being doubly handicapped continues to prevent Black women and women of color from holding proper seats in politics. So although Chisholm was living in 1964, we can say that 1964 isn't that far away. In 1964, though, Chisholm ran and became the second Black person to be a part of the New York legislature, and 4 years later would go on to run to hold the Democratic seat in the House. What we should see here is not necessarily only a woman of determination, but recognize instead that this is 1964, the very moment when the Civil Rights Act was passed, but it is also around the same time of 1965 that all voices were considered during voting processes, regardless of sex and race. If I am being frank, this is only about 60 years old. And in those 60 years, only 55 women have ever served in Congress, and only 2 have ever gone on to become senators. And only one of those senators has ever gone on to become vice president of the United States. This is a small win in comparison to the many white men who've continued to serve more than 12 years in the Senate, which is longer than any president, and up to 6 terms in the House. In that same time frame, though, 62 per 100,000 Black women continue to be incarcerated. Several Black girls and women continue to have homicides that go unnoticed or unsolved because of the taunting bias of being strong Black girls. Let's even consider the Say Her Name campaign, which was created by the Crenshaw Group. Not a lot of people knew, or were considering in 2014 and even today, that many Black women and Black girls continue to be killed brutally by police force. Now, the fact that these stories and these truths continue to be unsolved is crazy to me. I remember being in high school, and it was the heat of 2020, and I had just been elected student body president. And one of the things I really wanted to do was to not only raise awareness within my school community, but was to pay homage to the many people that had just died. And one of the things I wanted to implement is to create kind of workspace in our yearbook that would continue to be a school legacy, emphasizing the Say Their Name platform. But I wasn't trying to only focus on saying his name or saying their name, but I was really trying to also focus on saying her name. Because to be honest, it wasn't until Breonna Taylor that I can really say that people started to recognize that many Black girls, at least on a larger level, and Black women were being killed the very same way that their Black male counterparts were. But I say this all to say is that stories like these continue to be unnoticed, while white males get to continue to hold space in politics and continue to control it. Former Ambassador Chisholm paved the way, but she shouldn't have needed to be this strong to garner the respect. And might I add, this was half the respect that a white man would get. Still, the reality that she faced is still the reality that we face. She could have become incarcerated wrongly because of an all-white jury, or died and no one would have even known her name or her contributions. Yet still, she became one of the strongest politicians, and nobody remembers her name. So again, it has been less than 60 years. Still more Black women and girls continue to be incarcerated and murdered, and we have only gotten to see only one woman ever become the Vice President of the United States. The problem is, we as a society are too comfortable allowing stories like these to go under, because we are too comfortable diminishing the hope and the truth of young Black women, Black girls, outside of whiteness. We still unfortunately cling to a society that is comfortable painting women, especially women of color, as criminal instead of change makers. Even when Chisholm was withheld from speaking on televised primaries, she still wanted to be remembered as someone, and I quote, "I want to be remembered as a woman who dared to be a catalyst of change." She understood the importance of rewriting the narrative that stood to plague her work in politics and ultimately her life in society. So she may not have won the election, but she did earn her name, her recognition, and the respect, because any woman brave enough to be the first is still one to educate and inspire young minds and deserves to be known. Now, what does that mean for us today? First, we need to stop thinking that feminism is only about becoming a man's equal, but instead think like bell hooks, and feminism is for everybody, passionate politics. People do not understand, and I quote, people do not understand that sexism is a real problem, and it is misconstrued in the patriarchal gaze. Feminists would argue with that as well, is that we are uncomfortable with learning and allowing others to learn the truth, because that would mean we would need to take responsibility. June Jordan in Poetry is a Political Act states that in the process of telling the truth about what you feel or what you see, each of us has to get in touch with himself or herself in a really deep, serious way. Our culture does not encourage us to undertake that attunement. Consequently, most of us really exist at the mercy of other people's formulations of what is important. In a way of placing this into perspective, if we cannot tell the truth to ourselves, then we cannot even work towards sharing it with others. And it is in this failure that we remain stagnant to the things we are allowed to know, and ignorant to the hidden lives of the many trailblazers before us that continue to have their stories silenced. Thus, when courses like AP African American Studies is fought against in states like Florida, where the governor suggests it violates state laws, we stand to allow history to continue to be controlled and discriminated against by racial and gender biases that continue to express heteronormative regulations. It works to eradicate the conscious thinking and continues to exclude students that are not white from the opportunity to begin to learn from a critical lens their histories. It is our responsibility to no longer remain ignorant of the policing that affects our bodies and our minds, and continue to the work of Chisholm to create new changes that create and work to include minority voices in policy and legacies. It is our responsibility, yes, you and I, to no longer remain ignorant to the policing that affects our bodies and our minds, and continue the work of Chisholm to create new changes that work to include minority voices in policies and legacies. It is our responsibility to ask no more, "What if it was her?" but to allow a woman of color, or women, period, into the most important offices in the world. Are we not tired of living the same history over and over again? Or are we not tired of having the same histories told to us from the very same perspectives that work to hinder our development and our growth as a society, and moreover as a world? Ambassador Chisholm deserved more than just a space in Mount Holyoke's library or a space in national libraries. She deserved to be known and to be regarded. She deserved to be learned about more than she is now. But that's the thing. How many stories have gone unnoticed, like former ambassador and Representative Chisholm? How many other stories like that will continue to go unnoticed if we do not act now. We need to stop silencing the stories of women, especially women of color, all because we are too comfortable in remaining the same. Sameness is not working for us anymore, and it never has. Sameness works to restrict. It works to delay evolution. We are a people that is in need of serious and critical change. Look at it every day. We're having laws like the right to have an abortion be overturned, the right to be allowed into stores because of your race, gender, and your opportunity to be yourself be overturned, all because you don't fit a heteronormative standard. This is no longer a problem in the past, and it should have never been considered a problem of the past, but it is a problem of the present. And it is our responsibility as Gen Z and all those who are still alive and have the means to create change, to change the world. Get angry, write, contribute, fight, rally, but do something more than sitting down and being silent. Because what is that doing for us anymore? All that does is work to hide more truth that deserves to be told. We need to stop asking, what if it was her, and start saying, it was her. She did those changes and she deserves to be known. But that's all for today's episode. I want to thank you guys for listening and tune in for some others. If you haven't checked out our other episodes that are on our playlist, then go ahead and check those out. Like I said, or if I didn't introduce myself before, my name is Johara, and I'm interning at Power in Place this year. And I want to stop asking,